Turkey hunting is one of my favorite things. And one of the key tools I use for turkey hunting is the Onyx Hunt Map. I use it incessantly when I'm hunting turkeys. Being able to find a new piece of public or gaining permission on private opens up opportunities for gobblers. Onyx Hunt has a special offer for you this spring. Use the code MEATEATER to receive 20% off your membership at onxmaps.com/hunt. You'll find more birds this season. I'm telling you, I rely on Onyx Hunt when I'm hunting turkeys. It is an invaluable turkey hunting tool. Hey, I'm excited to share our newest sponsor here on the Meat Eater podcast, which is Poncho Outdoors. The reason I'm excited is I buy their shirts anyways. Dude, they make some good shirts. And they even have an option where if you're like a skinny dude, you can click like the skinny dude thing. It's great. Based in Austin, Texas, Poncho is committed to crafting the world's best outdoor shirts for men. Poncho is only sold on their own website. So head over to ponchooutdoors.com. Use code MEATEATER for a free hat or t-shirt with any purchase of a shirt. Poncho offers free shipping and returns, so you can try them out risk-free. Hey, we're going to take a little break here and talk about Interstate batteries. Now, if you're like me, enjoying the great outdoors, you need gear that is as reliable as it gets. That's why I power my adventures with Interstate batteries. I use Interstate batteries in my boats. I use Interstate batteries in my camper. Great for your truck, too. From Alaska to Montana, they're outrageously dependable. Battery is essential. With over 150,000 dealer locations, finding one is easy. For all your vehicles, land or sea, choose Interstate. Head to interstatebatteries.com and find your power today.
It's a Meat Eater podcast.
Welcome to Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins. I'm your host, Spencer Newharth, and today we're joined by Giannis Poutelis, Brody Henderson, Seth Morris, Chester Floyd, Hayden Samick, Marge Smith, and Max Barta. This is a 10-round quiz show with questions from Meat Eater's four verticals, which are hunting, fishing, conservation, and cooking. And there is a prize. Meat Eater will donate $500 to the conservation organization of the winner's choosing. Now, this week, we have a bit of a twist. Because I'm so damn excited about Seth and Chester's new show, Montana Walleye Tour, every question this game is tied to fishing. And we have a lot of very fishy folks in the room. How do you guys feel about an entire game that's dedicated to fishing trivia?
I think you could have given me a heads up.
And how, what would have changed if I gave you a heads up, Yanni?
Oh, I don't know. I'm probably would have watched some YouTube videos about fishing.
Giannis used
maybe
to do
brushed
a lot
up
more
on
fishing
my knots
than he does now.
I would say,
yeah, I'm gonna have to dig deep into the archives.
We have three fishermen, like full time fishermen, in here.
Uh-huh. Well, being who?
Seth, Chester, Brody.
Mm. What do you mean, like full time fisherman?
I would
fisherman
say he's like more of a big game.
Bro,
guy.
I used to host a fishing podcast.
I know, but still. Yeah, but when was the last time you fished?
I took people out ice fishing Sunday.
Oh, okay.
I feel like Hayden's going to be a threat,
stuff
though.
Max.
I'll shut up.
Giannis, don't you have some fishing bona fides? No?
What does that mean exactly?
Street like, cred. Like cred, yeah.
Oh, well, I mean,
a resume,
I guided trout fishing with a fly rod for a decade.
Max, does that count?
When was the last time you fished?
I haven't fished through the ice yet this year. And honestly, I don't know if I strung up a rod all last summer.
Spring break when we...
Mm. Yeah, that's right. When we were in miles... So you got to edit that out. Over spring break, we were somewhere in Montana and we did some fishing.
Max just trying to set us up for a letdown. Too many fishy folks in the room. Now, Seth and Chester, tell us a bit about the show, which had the first episode drop on YouTube yesterday.
Kick it off, Seth.
So it's a Montana Walleye Tour where Chester and I travel across the great state of Montana to three different tournaments. It's four episodes, but we hit three different walleye tournaments and compete. There's some pretty exciting moments, so I recommend tuning in.
What's the extra episode then that we see?
Well, the first episode is Chet and I driving to Minnesota to pick up our tournament boat at Alumacraft, and then we rig it with all the electronics, trolling motor, that kind of stuff. And then from there, we head to Fort Peck where we spend 2 days of pre-fishing.
And it's a totally smooth process, right? Like everything you guys envision happening with the boat happens. No issues along the way in episode one?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Right. Not really, though.
Did you guys, on the long drive back from Minnesota, did you guys get in an argument about who's the captain of the boat?
I said, yeah, I said, I am the captain now. No, it was a blast. Like, we had a lot of fun.
Yep. And
it's challenging to, you know, produce a show when you're in these tournaments. But yeah, it's basically like what you guys are going to see is like two goofballs just figuring it out along the way. This is our first, you know, tournaments we ever fished. Yeah, it was great.
And you guys do well. You don't go out there and get shellacked every time.
The last one.
Competing at the top of the leaderboard every time, right?
Not every time. No. Nope.
Our first two tournaments were pretty good, mm-hmm. in my opinion. Our last one, we got our asses handed to us.
Okay. Still good programming. I don't like watching a sporting event if I already know the outcome. This is different, though. I'm very excited to see the Montana Walleye Tour. Now, Max and Marge, you guys spent a lot of time making this come together behind the scenes. What were some of your favorite moments from the show?
Do you want to go first?
Well, I would say I had less of a hand, to be honest. I really did the graphical elements and worked on the wonderful, fun intro that y'all will be treated to getting to see.
Which is always great. Marge did all the graphics for Pardon My Plate, and she killed it every time. So I'm looking forward to seeing
it. Yeah, Marge crushes the graphics.
Montana Walleye Tour.
Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate that. I think my favorite, though, was from Fresno when the rod gets sucked out of the back of the boat. That's Fresno, right?
Yep.
So I won't say anything more to that, but stay tuned for a missing rod in action.
Mm. Yeah, and then I think I had a big portion of it because I was actually on a couple of the fishing trips too as well, and filming and driving the chase boat. So yeah, I think I went on the maiden voyage at Can Ferry with you guys.
Yep.
Fort Peck and then Tiber.
Yep.
And which you were like, it was very nice to have you, Max.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Helpful. It was probably one of my favorite things I did this last summer. It was just like hanging out with these two and driving around a boat and with the camera in my hand. So. But I think my favorite trip was the Fort Peck, just the wind, the waves, and big fish.
It's great. Episode one on YouTube right now. Now, in honor of this fishy episode of trivia, our stat of the week this week is looking at player performance in the fishing category. The person who is best at fishing questions is Ryan Callahan. He gets 59% of fishing questions right. That's closely followed by Steve Ranella at 58%, Brody Henderson at 57%, and Giannis Poutelis at 52%. They are our only competitors who get over half of their fishing questions correct.
Those are bona fides, Giannis.
See, there you go. We don't have an advantage. I might not even get a single one of these.
I need a little t-shirt. Yeah,
Cal even poked his head in the room, said he got too many trivia players, and then ducked out, despite him having the best score when it comes to getting fishing questions correct.
I feel like I was a little too intimidating when he popped in the door. I should have let him get into his seat and then start applying the pressure. Had he known this, he'd be feeling pretty good about being here right now.
Yeah, but instead we have Brody Henderson at 57% and Giannis Poutelis at 52%.
No, I'm way more nervous when Steve's not here and it's me and Giannis because Giannis is the guy that scares me.
Sure. We have some housekeeping to get to. In a previous game of trivia, we had a question about the Yiddish term for duck fat. The correct answer was schmaltz, but Giannis said schmutz. Now, Giannis didn't get that right, but Shlomo Franklin wrote in to say that Giannis deserves some credit because schmutz is actually a Yiddish term that means dirt. In the same episode, we also had Steve trying to remember the Yiddish term for sex, which Shlomo wanted to let us know is stupin. So there you go. Schmaltz is duck fat, schmutz is dirt, and stupin is sex.
Great.
Sounds like a fun language.
A lot of
schmushing and schlapping and schlipping all day.
And that's via Shlomo.
So yeah, a lot I was going to say Shlomo. His name kind of fits in with
Dude,
that.
Dude, I love that name.
That is a great name.
Say those Shlomo. Four words fast, four times fast.
Yeah, it's me, top. Schmutz. No, I already messed it up. Also in a previous game of trivia, when trying to describe what a pangolin looks like, I told Phil it resembles a Pokemon. Well, a few listeners wrote in to say that Pokemon number 27, Sandshrew, is actually based on a pangolin. The appearance is so similar that in 2017, the Singapore Zoo rescued a six-week-old pangolin, which they named Sandshrew. So, Phil, for the second time in Meat Eater Trivia history, I'm coming to you for some Pokemon wisdom. What can you tell us about Sandshrew?
Oh, man. Well, Sandshrew is one of the OGs, part of the first original 150.
Oh, my God.
It evolves into a Sand Slash.
Ah.
And it's got like a bunch of needles on its back and these big sharp claws. I don't think real pangolins do that, though, when they evolve at level 22. For a ground Pokemon, I was more of a Diglett guy.
Okay.
You guys Diglett guys around here?
I was a Cubone.
Yeah, yeah. Trio.
Definitely a Diglett guy.
There you go.
What is going on?
No shit.
Now, Phil,
we have a Pokemon theme.
You said 150 Pokemon. Weren't there 151?
Well, if you include Mew, Spencer, but some people don't. He was kind of out. Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Can we move on
Brody, you're stuck in a room with a lot of folks grew up in the 90s. Yeah. It's just naturally.
It has nothing to do with growing up in the
90s. I grew up in the 90s, and this is
Pokemon is
language.
Conservation, Brody.
This is a different
that's
language
right.
to me.
Pangolins.
Isn't the main one called Pokemon?
No, it's Pikachu.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah, he's kind of a mascot.
I don't know.
Seth, that was such a good take, you'd almost think it was satirical, so I appreciate having it. Now, the Shelby Index for this game of trivia is a 3, but I'm expecting our winner to get about 8 correct answers because my wife hasn't caught a fish since 2016. With that, we're on to the game of trivia. Play the drop, Phil.
Look, I need to know what I stand to win.
Everything.
How's that?
You stand to win everything.
Game on, suckers!
Question one. The topic is cooking. Which of these raw foods has the most calories? Is it octopus, scallops, lobster, or swordfish? Which of these raw foods has the most calories? Octopus, scallops, lobster, or swordfish? Quick answer from Max. The rest of the room, not so much. Giannis, you think you got this one?
Again,
it's an educated guess, Spencer.
Okay.
Now, if I was wording this question, I would say calories per ounce. Or...
It's per 3 ounce serving.
All right, there you go. Because a swordfish should damn sure have more calories than a scallop.
That's right. This is per a 3 ounce serving. Did you eliminate a few, Yanni? You know it's like not these two, or no?
No.
Okay.
No, because I feel like it could be a real tricky answer, you know? Maybe because one of them lives in some certain environment, it has to be super, super densely packed with calories.
Octopus, scallops, lobster, swordfish. Does everybody have an answer? Brody?
I'm changing mine.
Okay. What changed your mind?
I think a lot of us changed. Seemed like.
No good reason.
We're all changing, man.
Go ahead and reveal your answers, good wisdom, Hayden. Hayden saying swordfish. Seth saying scallops. Brody saying scallops. Marge saying lobster. Max saying swordfish. Chester saying lobster. Giannis saying scallops. The correct answer is swordfish.
Hell,
I think Hayden was the only one who got it. Hayden and Max got it right.
Because it is fat.
That's what I had. But
these numbers are via the U.S. Department of Agriculture and are based on a 3 ounce serving. Swordfish has 122 calories. Octopus has 82 calories. Lobster has 65 calories, and scallops have 59 calories. The FDA recommends eating about 10 ounces of fish or shellfish per week.
Seth, I've been getting that tingling in my hands. Starting to think about mercury poisoning.
Yeah, it's real. Did you see the
statistic that where it's like it's kind of convoluted, but a report recently came out that eating a serving of freshwater fish from like a lot of bodies of water is the equivalent, like in PFAS, those are like the forever chemicals, of drinking dirty water for a month.
Whew.
Yeah.
Oof.
Question two.
I don't want to know that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's my responsibility to educate everybody.
The topic is conservation. AmericanRivers.org declared this the most endangered river in America, which starts in the Rocky Mountains and ends at the Gulf of California. AmericanRivers.org declared this the most endangered river in America, which starts in the Rocky Mountains and ends at the Gulf of California.
They do that every year. So, like, was it a certain year?
It's 2022.
All right, there you go.
2022 is when they made this list, and this river was number one.
Damn it. Brody's got this one, I can tell you that, Spencer.
Okay. Do you
it's
have
a great
this one?
Organization.
I'm pretty sure.
American Rivers.
AmericanRivers.org.
Seth, back of your board says, suck it, Seth.
Great.
Giannis and Brody got this one. Chester, you got this one?
No.
Okay.
I know fish live in rivers, Spencer, but it could have been a little bit more fishing.
If you're looking for a lot of walleye questions, you're not going to love this round.
Wait.
But you should still go watch Montana Walleye Tour. Hayden, how we doing?
Oh, not so good, man.
Okay. Does everybody else have an answer?
I just tried to think of a river that flowed west.
There you go.
That's just
education.
Good. Do you have an answer?
Wait, hold on.
Come on now.
Sorry.
What's your problem, Brody? You don't like the changing, the time?
Max is that little much that time.
And everyone else has an answer.
Okay.
Hayden's over there dicking.
Brody
around.
Loves to take his time when he doesn't know the answer. That's my favorite thing.
Yeah. All right, show him.
Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Hayden saying Snake, Seth saying Colorado, Brody saying Colorado, Marge saying Sacramento, Max saying Columbia, Chester saying Salmon, Giannis saying Colorado. Yanni got it. The correct answer is Colorado, as well as Brody and Seth. Colorado River.
I liked your guess.
The Colorado River flows through 7 states and 2 countries and is the 6th longest river in America. AmericanRivers.org says its greatest threat is climate change and outdated water management. They estimate that unless we take action, the river's flow will be reduced by another 10-30% by the year 2050. Question 3. The topic is biology. This next great question comes to us via John Silgbeck. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. Loda Loda is the scientific name for North America's only freshwater cod. What is it? Loda Loda is the scientific name for North America's only freshwater cod. What is it? Hayden with the quickest answer in the room. Other folks coming up with them now, except for Yanni. Yanni's got a blank board over
there.
Oh,
I know it. But Loda Loda. My little homunculus is not telling me.
Loda Loda is the scientific name for North America's only freshwater cod.
Hayden's confidence actually made
this
answer easy.
Okay. I hope to fish for these one day.
That's a hint. What's up, Max?
I think you cod one do day. Better next time.
What's that?
I think you cod do better okay. next time.
Don't Thank listen you. To
Too
that
much
one.
Side chat going on.
Does everybody have an
no,
answer?
No, I okay. don't. I don't. I don't.
Is this even a cod?
Fresh water cod.
Loda Loda.
Loda Loda.
L-O-T-A.
Come to me. Come L-O-T-A. To me, Loda Loda. Just right through my forehead. Down into the back of my head.
I like scientific names that go back to back same word. Yeah. Is bison bison one of them? Is that right?
Metamitis, so. Metaphytus.
Bison. Mm,
is that skunk?
Americanus.
Striped
skunk.
Right.
Mm. No.
I think it is bison.
I thought bison bison.
Is it?
Yeah.
I feel like I know what this, and I just can't think.
Who knows?
Looking for
anyway,
Loda.
Let's
Loda.
Turn them over.
Hold on, Brody. Hold on. We got folks coming up with answers.
All right.
Does everybody have an answer?
I have an answer. It's not right, though.
Go yes! ahead and reveal your answer. Shit. Hayden, Seth, and Brody saying Burbot. Marge without an answer. Max erasing his answer before I could even
I'm
look.
I'm embarrassed.
Chester and Giannis saying Burbot. They got it. The correct answer
What'd you
is
put, Max?
Burbot.
Bluegill?
No, I put flounder.
I got that without the little cod information.
Would you have accepted eel pout?
Yeah, that's what Yanni wrote. Okay. Other names for burbot include freshwater ling, lawyerfish, and eel pout. Indiana just had their burbot state record broken twice in the span of 2 weeks. Prior to that, the record had stood for 32 years. All three of those fish came from Lake Michigan, with the most recent record weighing 11.4 pounds.
Side note, the Canadian angle where Jay fishes for burbot has some amazing underwater burbot footage.
Mm. Are they spawning? Like, are they right up and tight on the ice?
It's kind of post-spawn, but they're just, there's a lot of them.
Are they balled up and stuff?
Yeah.
Nice. That's so cool.
You should check it out. It's sweet.
Broadcast spawning, man.
My girlfriend's going to be so mad at me. Their family, she comes from a fishy family.
Uh-huh. They're all
and
burbot.
That's her nickname is Eel Pout Al.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is disappointing, man.
That's a great nickname.
Yeah, it's super bad.
I don't know if I would have admitted that.
Yeah. Question
we'll have to tell this story at the wedding.
The topic is fish camp. This is an audio question. I'm going to play 1 minute of a famous fishing song. You need to tell me the artist. Play the song, Phil.
Spring is almost over and the summer's come and the days are getting long.
We're going to name the band?
I need you to name the band or the artist.
You didn't even have to play the song and I knew it.
Okay. Max is going to be on the board here. So with Seth and Chester.
I think so. I think.
Stop. Don't bite. Go ahead, sing, Chester. Get in there.
Cool ourselves in the heat of the night. Baby, get ready.
Who's a better singer?
Hold on. Everybody needs to stop because I'm trying to figure out musically who this might be.
Side note, senior prom, like walkout.
Uh-huh. What year?
2011.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is what you played. Yeah. I like it.
The girls hated it.
You don't say.
They thought it was pretty fishy.
Again, you need to name the artist of this song.
Well,
Chester is not the answer.
Artist makes me think of
cannot put Chester as your answer. That won't be right.
Don't put me.
Oh, gosh.
I know when my answer's wrong.
Yeah, I'm just putting like a vaguely country-ish person.
Does everybody have an answer?
I'm just guessing.
I know it wasn't Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
Brody, you going to get this one?
No.
Okay, you going to come up with my an answer?
Tip? No.
Does everybody have an answer that's going to come up with one?
Yeah.
Pick a country singer, Brody.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. Denver. We've got Hayden saying Kenny Rogers. Seth saying Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. Brody without an answer.
Probably Nitty Gritty Dirt Band.
Marge saying Zach Brown Band. Max and Chester saying Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. Giannis saying, what did that say?
Lyle Lovett.
Lyle Lovett.
I love Lyle Lovett.
The correct answer is Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. Mm.
Do they have any other hits other than that? Is they a one-hit wonder?
I think their other biggest hit was just a cover of Mr. Bojangles, which wasn't even their song.
So they're a one-hit wonder.
I think you could call them that.
That was a hit?
That's a great hit.
The Nitty Gritty Dirt Band released that song on their 1987 album, Hold On. It hit number one on the charts in the United States and Canada, becoming the band's best-selling single of all time. The song has since been covered by artists like John Party, Garth Brooks, and Meat Eater Trivia's number one fan, Luke Bryan. Question five. That's a joke.
So topic we need to know a 35-year-old song that mentions fishing once.
Exactly.
Well, awesome. That's what. Anytime he has like a thing that's like deer camp or fish camp, it's something like tangentially related.
Oh, you've caught on.
I think there's something
to be said about being like a well-rounded individual. You can really bring a lot to the table here at Media Trivia.
Apparently.
Question five. The topic is gear. This next great question comes to us via Christian Thompson. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. This nymph pattern, which was created in Wisconsin, shares its name with an alcoholic drink that has ice cream in it. What is it? This nymph pattern, which was created in Wisconsin, shares its name with an alcoholic drink that has ice cream in it. What is it? Chester, why do you know this one?
Hmm.
because you're from Wisconsin. That's the answer.
I still don't, I'm not 100% on my answer, but it's the best I got.
Okay, this nymph pattern, which was created in Wisconsin, shares its name with an alcoholic drink that has ice cream in it.
You should know this.
Why would I?
Fly fisher?
Because you're a fly fisher.
And she's from Minnesota. Ice cream, though.
Yeah, Minnesotans love alcohol, ice cream, fishing, all
much
of it.
Fly
I don't
fisherman.
Know if I've ever had an alcoholic drink with ice cream.
Okay. You know it, Brody?
Dude.
I don't think I know.
yeah. Apparently 20 years of fly fishing garden didn't really pay off for this.
yeah.
This nymph pattern, which was created in Wisconsin, shares its name with an alcoholic drink that has ice cream in it. I think Chester is the only one with an answer right now.
I don't even know the drink that has ice cream.
Yeah, I'm like doing a chicken or the egg thing. I don't know whether to like go through nymphs categorically or go through alcoholic drinks categorically.
I think I can think of the one list that would be shorter than the other.
Well, you know.
Giannis, how are you feeling about this?
I got a good guess.
Okay, one of the few folks that's come up with an answer besides Chester.
I think I invented a new nymph.
Oh, okay.
Not so a new alcoholic somebody. Cocktail?
No.
The meat eater trivia nymph.
I know two flies with alcoholic drink names on them. If I give you both of those, can
no,
I have a
no, no, no. Does everybody have an answer?
Yeah, come on. This seems like it would have been a bent podcast topic.
It would have been. It
Seth changing his answer.
I just don't have one.
Okay.
Hold on.
Write something down.
I don't have one.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Hayden saying, what's that say, Hayden?
Mickey Finn.
Mickey Finn. Seth without an answer. Brody saying mudslide. Marsh saying root beer float. I like that. Yeah. Max saying $3 dip. Chester saying pink squirrel. Giannis saying mudslide.
Ooh, mudslide.
Chester got it. It's the pink squirrel.
Nice work, Chester.
Nice job.
The ingredients for a pink squirrel cocktail are creme de cacao, creme de noyau, and ice cream. The ingredients for a pink squirrel nymph are a brass bead, strands of pearl crystal flash, red wire, squirrel dubbing, and pink dubbing. It's considered the most popular fly pattern in the Driftless area.
Very cool.
Yeah, that's the only reason I put that answer down was I fished in the Driftless area a lot. You'd go into a fly shop. You'd be like, what's some good stuff you guys have that's been working? They'd all be like, oh, you got to get some pink squirrels, you know.
Now, do our two former fishing guides, have you ever used or heard of a pink
squirrel?
I've
heard of it.
Okay.
But what Chester didn't know back then is they just had a shitload of those in inventory, and they're like, use these so we can get rid of them.
Right, yeah. But I would say that just a simple, they're similar to a beaded hare's ear. I would say a hare's ear with some, ribbing on it works just as well.
Is it like a scud pattern?
No. It's just a general search.
Yeah, kind of like more of a caddis type thing, but it's got that pink on it, so it's pretty visible.
I just like using a pink squirmy wormy.
Yeah. Phil, we are halfway through our game of trivia. Give us a scoreboard update.
Brutal, man.
All right, we've got Maggie with 0 points. Max and Giannis and Hayden, and Brody all have 2 points apiece. And tied for first place with 3 points are Chester and Seth.
Wow.
Very appropriate.
Not a single question about one.
Did you guys know that this was going to be a fishing episode?
Yeah, but that...
Why.
Yeah, how would I have...
They have the inside track.
You guys have been watching YouTube on fishing on YouTube for the last 3 days.
Throwing Chester's softball Wisconsin fly
pattern. I've been watching fishing on YouTube for the last 3 years.
I didn't think I was going to have to get a nitty gritty dirt band question.
Yep, they've been pounding pink squirrels, listening to the nitty gritty dirt band.
Chet and I hung out last night and drank pink squirrels.
Talked about pink squirrels.
Endangered rivers and whatnot.
That wouldn't surprise me, man.
Spring is a great time to do something with your family. Do some spring cleaning, which I kind of started today outside, planning outdoor activities, which I'm always doing, taking a little trip to Hawaii with your kids for spring break, which I just did, which was great. You know what else you can do for your family this spring? You can shop for life insurance with Policy Genius. Make that part of your financial planning for the year. I've said it before 1,000 times. I'll say it again. When my wife and I, when we started having kids, we got serious about life insurance. And man, I felt so much better after we did. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Even if you already have a life insurance policy through work, it may not offer enough protection for your family's needs, and it may not follow you if you leave your job. So save time and money and provide your family with a financial safety net using Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com. The single most valuable tool I have for chasing turkeys next to my scatter gun is the Onyx Hunt app. If I'm hunting turkeys, I'm using Onyx. If I'm not hunting turkeys, I'm using Onyx. I'm always using Onyx. I live by that stuff. I can't tell you the number of birds this app has put me on by allowing me to easily find new areas to hunt. It's invaluable. I use it all the time. Even properties I know super well. And I'm at my buddy Bubbly Doug's house. I'm using Onyx, and I've hunted this place 1,000,000 times. With their compass mode, I can pinpoint exactly on the map where a gobble rang out from and then figure out the perfect spot to set up. Meaning, if I'm sitting there, let's say I'm at Bubbly Doug's, and I'm in the navel, and I hear, pow, I'll, like, instinctively pull up Bubbly Doug's place on Onyx, and I'll look at the topography, and I'll be like, oh, that sucker must be over in that little opening over there. Waypoints, also, and the ability to share them. Okay, comes in handy every spring. Whether that's revisiting old waypoints where I've been on birds before or sharing them to buddies to help put them on birds, this app will help you find more turkeys. Onyx Hunt has a special offer for you too. Use code MEATEATER to receive 20% off your membership at onxmaps.com/hunt this turkey season. Now, a lot of you guys are familiar with the old hunting tradition of eating, you know, some organ, the heart or a chunk of liver off the first animal you kill. I had that when I was a little kid, and it was a big deal. Organ meats were always prized by frontier people who knew the importance of getting a lot of different minerals and nutrients. And as often is the case, those guys were onto something, because organs are among the most nutrient-rich foods on the planet. And you can get the same benefits your ancestors craved via convenient daily capsules from Heart and Soil, made exclusively from regeneratively raised, grass-fed, and finished cattle. Heart and Soil's unique freeze-drying process means all those important nutrients are trapped in, ensuring you experience every one of the benefits of nature's superfood in a clean, convenient, taste-free capsule. Find out more at heartandsoil.co. And make sure to use code MEATEATER for 10% off your purchase. That's heartandsoil.co. Use the code MEATEATER.
Question 6. The topic is cooking. What type of meat is in a California sushi roll? What type of meat is in a California sushi roll? Ooh. Hayden with the quickest answer, and Marge, and Chester.
Now I'm second guessing myself.
Okay. Giannis and Brody, our two best folks in the fishing category, are behind in the game and have yet to come up with an answer.
That's because none of these questions have anything to do with fishing.
What type of meat is in a California sushi roll? A lot of thinking. This is Brody's favorite game of trivia when everyone's just quiet.
Oh, I love it.
No banter.
Just really cut focus. The tension with a knife.
Mm-hmm. Does everybody have an answer?
I got two answers, okay. And I just scratched one out.
Everybody, you ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Hayden saying, what's that say?
Imitation, but sometimes real. Crab.
Seth saying shrimp. Brody saying salmon. Marge saying imitation. Crab. Max saying tuna. Chester saying crab. Giannis saying pollock. The correct answer is crab or imitation crab or pollock. In a previous game of trivia, we learned that pollock is the most common fish used in imitation crab.
Wow. Nice work. Ooh.
The California roll is an inside-out sushi roll.
Imitation crab meat. But, you know,
when in a previous game, that was an answer that we had. The California roll is an inside-out sushi roll that's usually made of sushi rice, cucumber, avocado, and crab. It was invented in the 1960s by Ichiro Mishida in the Little Tokyo area of Los Angeles. It's now considered one of the most popular sushi rolls in America.
Do you know he made that specifically to cater to Western tastes?
Mm-hmm. Assume so. Yeah, because they leave out the seaweed most times. They use imitation crab meat, which Americans love.
Brody, you seem disappointed over there.
Oh, I'm very disappointed.
Question 7. The topic is conservation. Pyrite, which is a mineral that drains from mines and turns waterways orange, is better known by this nickname. Again, the topic is conservation. Pyrite, which is a mineral that drains from mines and turns waterways orange, is better known by this nickname.
Come on, us PA boys better know this one.
Oh, yeah.
We grew up with this shit.
A lot of quick answers in the room. Nothing from Giannis yet.
I think Cheddar's going to win, man.
I think so, too.
We just talked about this, Seth.
Yeah.
And do you not know it?
On this. Well,
don't give him any hints.
No, I don't think I can remember. I wrote down something else, but I think it might be something different now.
This is the one time that studying for trivia has actually helped me.
How did you study for this?
What I did was I went online.
That's
and
pathetic that you studied for this thing.
I don't care what you think. I'm going to get this answer right. You might not.
No, I got it.
I think you will.
I looked up a bunch of outdoor trivia questions on the internet, and there was a list of 500 of them.
Okay.
I just read them.
Well, what would tell me the question
again? Pyrite, which is a mineral that drains from mines and turns waterways orange, is better known by this nickname.
I really hope I'm right now.
A lot of the room is confident. Giannis and Marge, not so much.
I just wrote down what we always called it growing up, which hopefully is the
oh, you got it, Seth. You got it, Seth.
Yanni, you going to come up with anything? Uh-oh. Chester might lose the lead here. Is everybody ready?
Yeah.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Hayden and Brody saying fool's gold. Seth saying acid mine drainage. Marge without an answer. Max saying copper. Chester saying fool's gold. Giannis saying orange slush. The correct answer is fool's gold.
You guys are too good.
Got it wrong.
And then I erased it.
You got it wrong?
Yeah.
When exposed to water and oxygen, pyrite can react to form sulfuric acid. This contaminates drinking water, disrupts reproduction of aquatic plants and animals, and corrodes infrastructure. Trout Unlimited has a mine reclamation program that tries to address this problem across the country. And when I was researching this topic, you guys are right, it's all over in Pennsylvania as well as the Rocky Mountains.
Yeah, I remember growing up swimming in Susquehanna River, and you'd come out and my swim trunks would be red.
Really?
Yeah. But they've since done a lot of work to clean that up, and it's actually a good fishery now.
Yeah, the same where Giannis and I used to guide. The Eagle River got hit real hard by that, and it's doing really well now. Those cleanups work. They're expensive, though.
Question 8. The topic is biology. This next great question comes to us via Annie McTurner. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. On a catfish, what is the name of the fin that's located between the dorsal fin and caudal fin? On a catfish, what is the name of the fin that's located between the dorsal fin and caudal fin? A couple quick answers in the room. Chester, our guy in the lead, though, has yet to come up with anything. This is question 8. On a catfish, what is the name of the fin that's located between the dorsal fin and caudal fin? Seth, you got this one right.
Mm-mm.
I'm gonna be kicking. I'm gonna be kicking myself. Mm. I think I can't think of. I can picture it. I just don't know the name.
Can you say that again one more
on
time?
On a catfish, what is the name of the fin that's located between the dorsal fin and caudal fin? Not a very confident room. Brody, you think you're going to get this one?
Maybe. I just don't know if catfish have this type of fin or not.
I know what you're thinking, and I'm wondering that exact same thing.
Does also wondering, like, forget it.
Does everybody have
No, not yet. I'm going to write the same thing that I bet you Brody wrote down.
Chester, you going to keep the lead on this one or not?
No, I don't have an answer, and I'm not going to probably come up with one.
Is everybody ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Hayden saying adipose. Seth saying adipose. Brody saying adipose. Marge saying adipose. Max saying
adipose, but I spelled it way wrong.
Bodies.
We'll give it
Chester without an answer. Giannis saying back fin. The correct answer is adipose fin. And you guys were on the right track because other fish with an adipose fin include salmon and trout. It got this name because biologists originally thought the fin had adipose tissue in it, which is a type of fat. That has since been disproven, and now our best guess is that it acts as a flow sensor for fish to better maneuver turbulent waters.
Cool.
You know, they clip those things off of
stalkers. Popular for hatchery fish. If I would have said trout, would have you gotten it
yes,
right?
Yes, okay. 100%.
And I thought that would have been too easy, so I went with catfish
threw me off.
I kept thinking about, like, anal fin there, where you can count the rays to distinguish, like, a blue cat from a white cat from a channel cat. That's what I was thinking.
But Phil, two questions left. Yeah. Give us a scoreboard update. I think it just got interesting.
Yeah, it did. Technically, everyone except for Maggie, is still in the game. We've got Max and Giannis with 3 points, Seth and Brody with 4, and Hayden and Chester with 5.
Ooh. Hayden and Chester.
Oh, Chester, you could be running away with it right now.
I don't know why I should have just written that down, but
anything.
Question 9. The topic is fishing. What is the deepest Great Lake? What is the deepest Great Lake? This room is full of folks who grew up in a Great Lake state. Max, where'd you grow up?
North Dakota.
Okay, and not you. Everyone else. Skokie? Everyone else. Grew up in a Great Lake state. What is the deepest Great Lake?
Damn it.
That's a tough one.
Make a guess, Seth.
Yeah.
Do you know the Great Lakes, Seth? You got a chance.
I know at least one of them.
You should have had his name all 5.
Looking for the deepest
one. I can only think of 3.
Hayden, how you feel about this?
Well, I'm doing that thing where I'm like kind of trying to play into how much I think you're trying to trick us.
Mm.
But I think I got a 1 in 5 shot.
Chester?
I'm kind of in the same boat as Hayden. Well, I think I got I've got a little better shot than 1 in 5.
Does everybody have an answer? Looking for the deepest Great Lake.
1 in 3 shot.
Brody, I can't tell if you're frustrated at this game, frustrated at this question,
frustrated
yourself.
All of it. Okay. Mostly myself right now, because I can actually only think of 4 of the 5 Great Lakes right now, which is just...
Do we get a bonus point if we can name them all?
No, you will get it wrong if you put more than Great Lake. Everybody ready?
I'm crossing it out.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Hayden saying Superior. Seth saying Superior. Brody saying Huron.
Superior is the one I couldn't remember.
Mark saying Superior. Max and Chester and Giannis saying Superior. They got it. The correct answer is Lake Superior.
Tough game, Hayden. Brody.
The deepest part of Lake Superior is about 40 miles north of Munising, Michigan, and is 1,333 feet deep. The deepest part of Lake Michigan is 925 feet. The deepest part of Lake Ontario is 804 feet. The deepest part of Lake Huron is 748 feet. And the deepest part of Lake Erie is 210 feet. Phil, we have 1 question left. Give us a scoreboard update.
It's down to 3 players. We have Seth with 5 points and tied for first place are Hayden Samick and Chester with 6.
Question 10. The topic is gear. And this is our OnX listener question of the week, which was won by Stephen Tyler. If For sending this great question, Stephen is going to get a one-year premium subscription to OnX. If you want a chance to win our listener question of the week, then send it to trivia@themeateater.com. This fishing magazine, which has a note on the cover that says $7, $14 for bait fishermen, is named after a large mayfly. What is it?
Now you could have done those questions the whole game.
Spencer? This fishing magazine.
We're going to a tiebreaker.
Which
test.
Has yep. a note on the cover that says $7, $14 for bait fishermen, is named after a large mayfly.
I remember when that magazine was cool.
What is it? It's not cool anymore?
I don't know. Might be.
Chester, you think you got this one?
100%.
Hayden, you got this one?
Yeah, I do.
Is everybody ready?
Chester, am I right?
Close.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Hayden and Seth. Brody, your answer's upside down. Hayden, Seth,
no
Brody sang the Drake.
No
Marge
idea.
Sang Salmon Fly. Max sang Green Drake. Chester sang Drake. Giannis sang Drake. The correct answer is the Drake.
None of them have the. They don't get it right.
Brody, we're going to accept it.
Are you going to accept my Max?
Green, we're not going to take Green Drake. That sounds like a different magazine for waterfowlers. Tom Bye founded the magazine in Jackson Hole, Wyoming in 1998. He said he created the publication because every magazine that covered fly fishing was catered to those who hired guides. His goal was to make a magazine for guides and those who already knew how to fish. Phil?
It's kind of elitist.
We're going to a tiebreaker. Play the drop.
Tiebreaker.
If you ain't first, you're last.
But that doesn't make any sense at all. You're first, you're last. You can be second, you can be third, fourth, hell, you can even be fifth.
Going to a tiebreaker, we have Chester and Hayden. The tiebreaking topic is fishing.
Anybody want to put a little side figure. Bet on who's going to...
Calcutta?
Calcutta.
According,
that's a fishing thing.
Yeah.
According to a 2016 survey by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, what percentage of hunters had also fished within the last year? According to a 2016 survey by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, what percentage of hunters had also fished within the last year? Down to Chester and Hayden. This is making for an exciting fish.
Do these
finish.
Boys got to go to a decimal point?
Yes, go to a decimal point for your answer. Thank you, Brody. It's always more fun when it's not one of the old heads like Giannis or Brody taking a victory.
Is that right?
It's not fun for us.
Yeah.
I think so. Chester, how are you feeling about this? You look like you're doing some math over there.
Yep.
Tell us about that math.
Well, I don't know if I want to
okay.
yet.
Okay, all right.
Keep it to yourself,
I'm just
Chester.
Guessing, bro.
Just yeah. guessing.
Hang on. Just give me just a little bit.
Okay.
Chester.
Everyone else can come up with an answer, but the only ones that matter are Chester and Hayden.
Chester.
Chester's going good.
None of the rest of you people matter.
Chester.
No, if I get it right, they'll know for the rest of the day. That I got it.
Max has something important to say. What, Max? You got some advice for him?
Chester, let me know when you're ready.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm ready.
Thank you.
Again, it's according to a 2016 survey, what percentage of hunters had also fished within the last year? You boys ready?
Sure.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. The rest of the room, we have Marge saying, what does that say, Marge?
90.2.
90.2. Max saying 33.3. Giannis saying 75. Seth saying 64.7. Brody saying 79.3. And our two competitors left in the game, we have Hayden saying 68.5 and Chester saying 51. One of you is within half of a percentage point
Ooh,
of the correct answer.
Amazing. Wow.
The correct answer is 67%,
Ooh,
that's making awesome. Hayden our winner. It wasn't a half percentage point. It was 1.5 percentage points. Hayden, that Woo. Is damn near nailing it on
damn,
the nose.
Hayden.
Well done.
Thank wow. you, everybody.
What Wait. Happens next is Hayden gets to choose where our $500 donation from Meat Eater goes. So what's it going to be? Maybe you got something fishy in mind over there?
Keep it real.
I would like to...
The American Rivers?
American Rivers. I'd like to donate to American Rivers.
And what do you like about them, Hayden?
that Brody told me to, and I'm very susceptible to influence.
Brody, what do you like about American Rivers?
They're a very good conservation org. That like they're watchdogs for pollution in rivers. They do a bunch of great work. Every year they list the 10 most endangered rivers in the country.
Yeah, and I was like,
I've been thinking about donating to these guys, like at some point anyway. So
yeah, I was gonna do Sheep Week or a Wild Sheep Foundation, but Sheep Week just happened, so I figured they probably have an influx of donations.
I like Brody's suggestion. I also like conservation organizations that reach folks who aren't just endemic to what we do.
That's right.
They're helping folks who use drinking water, who have to water their lawns, who recreate in these rivers. Good choice. American Rivers. Now, the Montana Walleye Tour is on Meat Eater's YouTube channel right now. New episodes dropping every Tuesday over the next 3 weeks. Go check it out.
Yippee.
That's it for this game of Meat Eater Trivia. Join us next time for more of the only game show where conservation always wins.
Hey, I'm excited to share our newest sponsor here on the Meat Eater podcast, which is Poncho Outdoors. The reason I'm excited is I buy their shirts anyways. Dude, they make some good shirts. And they even have an option where if you're like a skinny dude, you can click like the skinny dude thing. It's great. Based in Austin, Texas, Poncho is committed to crafting the world's best outdoor shirts for men. Poncho is only sold on their own website. So head over to ponchooutdoors.com. Use code MEATEATER for a free hat or t-shirt with any purchase of a shirt. Poncho offers free shipping and returns, so you can try them out risk-free. Hey, we're going to take a little break here and talk about Interstate batteries. Now, if you're like me, enjoying the great outdoors, you need gear that is as reliable as it gets. That's why I power my adventures with Interstate batteries. I use Interstate batteries in my boats. I use Interstate batteries in my camper. Great for your truck, too. From Alaska to Montana, they're outrageously dependable. Battery is essential. With over 150,000 dealer locations, finding one is easy. For all your vehicles, land or sea, choose Interstate. Head to interstatebatteries.com and find your power today.